Okay, so this morning we are going to be starting a new series, and it's titled Picture Perfect. So I'm going to have some handouts here. You don't need them. You don't have to have them. But if you enjoy taking notes, if you happen to have a pen, then help yourself to one. I made 80 copies, so. Okay, so. So how was your Thanksgiving celebration this week? Did y'all have fun with family? Was it enjoyable? Were you wanting more time together with them? Or did some of you feel like me where you wanted to give someone's head off or something like that? You know, I mean, not that I'd actually ever do that, but I mean, you're with family, those closest to you, those who know you best, the people that know how to push your buttons at the exact right time. I mean, that's just... You haven't lived life until you've had some close family that, you know, kind of picks on you a little bit. So, all right, so we'll be talking about that this morning. Our title for our series, and it's just a 3-week series, it's called Picture Perfect. That term, picture perfect, is typically used for scenarios or pictures, scenery, where it's almost flawless. And you look at it and you say, man, that's just picture perfect. If you see a beautiful sunset, which I got to see the past couple days, or if you see, I don't know, something that's just awesome in your eyes, you're like, man, that's just picture perfect. If I had a camera right now, I would take a picture of that. Well, the next couple weeks we're going to be talking about families. And probably one of the last words or terms or phrases that you would use is picture perfect, especially as you kind of look and reflect on your own family. It's like, well, I mean, we're not picture perfect. So speaking of families and pictures, why is it that we take so much time when it comes to getting a family photo? It's like, it has to be perfect. It's like, we need to prove to other people, well, we all actually smile all the time, or this is how we look at our best. I don't know. I thought it was kind of ironic how we want to portray one thing, but in reality, it's like, man, we're not really like this all the time, but on a good day, this is how we look. So I got a couple pictures of families for you. So as you kind of think about families, and maybe you have that perfect family in mind, and you're thinking like, oh yeah, I know a perfect family. And this is kind of what comes to mind when I think of them.
The interesting.
Here we go. So one family, let's see if this works. Okay, the Kardashians. I mean, they're pretty popular, whether you watch them or not. They've gotten a lot of news coverage. So that's one family I'm not here to talk about or praise these families by any means. I just thought I would show some pictures of families that are famous right now. The Parsons, Modern Family, is a TV show, second season. I don't watch it. I really don't even know what goes on. I've seen a couple previews. I don't condone it or anything. It just happens to be a hit show right now pertaining to families. So maybe the Parsons come to mind. Here's another family that you may have heard of, seen on the news. Here in the States, they're not really as praised or celebrated as much as they are in Europe, but I grew up in Germany, and it seems like they were always consumed with, what is the royal family doing? It's like, who cares? But recently, somebody got married there in the family, and you might have seen this picture. Another family, been around for years. They're not really praised for being a great, perfect family. They're more laughed at because they're so dysfunctional. Because we laugh at because we do some of the things that they do and they can get away with it, but we can't. That just happens to be one more family. The Smiths. You may have heard of Will Smith and his kids who have grown in popularity. Karate Kid and Willow Smith, the daughter, is an artist herself. Pretty young, so that may just be a family that you know of. Here's another one. Pretty famous. Especially in these parts of the world. We got the Schultz. I mean, when you talk about families, I mean, this is one big family, and they have many eyes, so they're around the campus. And but when I think of families, I have certain families that come to mind, like, oh yeah, how do they do things? Oh, I like that. I like how they do that. And so then I start kind of comparing. And we often think about other families. We live in a culture where we change things that we aren't satisfied with. Our looks, our clothing, school. If we don't like a school, we'll switch. Our job. If we have a part-time job, we're like, man, this work is just not for me. Unfortunately, spouses. That's just kind of how society views it. Like, well, if you don't like it, then change. Do something about it. Instead of becoming a better person or changing yourself, you just, you know, choose the easier route and just find a new spouse. Unfortunately, church, religion, or your friends. If you don't like it, well, let's just change it. But one of the things that we can't change, easily at least, is our family. We're kind of not given an option. We're born into it, and we just kind of have to make the best of it. Many of us are pretty discontent. We're like, well, I mean, I wish I could change. Perhaps there's this perfect family out there. You've seen a couple different people, and you're just like, well, I mean, if he was my dad, she was my mom, well, he or she were my siblings, and then maybe I had some wealthy uncle. Okay, so we got Ashton and Demi Moore, okay. Okay, maybe they're your parents. Maybe, oh man, if I had them as parents, that would be awesome. Okay, so Justin is your little brother. We love to pick on him, you know, his little cardigans. And you got Vanessa, I mean, it's your cute little sister or whatever. And then, of course, you have the rich uncle, Uncle Donnie. I mean, he would pay for your family vacations. He thought, well, if this is my family, then I'd be set. I'm ready to go. I can go anywhere I want to. You know, kind of. But we are. We aren't born into these families. God placed you in your family for a reason. So I want to challenge you this morning to find the good in the midst of the messiness. And as you see, maybe on your handout, and I'm going to go through it, it's pretty simple this morning. I'm just going to break it down into 3 points. My 3 points are, God chose you, God has a purpose for you, and God shows us how to live. Very simple. Simple outline, and we're going to walk through that this morning. Let's get rid of little Donnie. Oh, well, so we're speaking of families. I have some more pictures. So on the left, you have my family. I'm one of 7 kids. My last name is Doobie, so Doobie family. And then my wife, Abby's family, her maiden name was Amos. So when I got married, I quickly noticed how frequently I compared our families. Well, my family does this, or I grew up doing this. Now you want to do it this way? And so I'd always be choosing, like, well, I like it like this because this is how I grew up doing it. Or a lot of times I would see how her family does it and how well it worked. I'm like, well, dang, that's easy, you know. And so, and I still have to fight against that of comparing. One reason I was laughing with Abby about these pictures is the fact that her family got together and were so cooperative to get a family photo. My family was like, okay, we got 2 shots. Hurry, run in front of the Christmas tree, let's take it. If it didn't work, you know, and then it was too late, you know. We hadn't seen each other in, we hadn't celebrated Christmas together in 10 years, and that's like the best photo we can get. Kind of lame, but whatever. Her family's like all coordinated, color coordinated, and I'm like, man, her family is just dysfunctional. But so I find myself, and even growing up, I would always compare, like, oh man, my friends could do this, but I can't. We were missionary kids, whatever, so there was a lot that we had to sacrifice. And anyhow, let's move on. But the truth is, and I think, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But the truth is, no one family is perfect. No one's family is perfect. Not ours. And there's something inside of us that is wired to see the flaws. I'm talking about picture perfect. We're wired to look at what is wrong, what we want differently, what needs to change. And so we typically look at other people like, well, they need to change. He or she needs to change. But a lot of times we don't even look at ourselves. The family, each family has its own DNA, and we might have not thought about this, but they actually work together. And, you know, some families, they understand each other's jokes and stuff like that, but they work together. You may think they're dysfunctional, but they actually kind of fit together and have a different makeup than the family that we know. We know there is no such thing as a perfect family, but at times we long for a better family than the one we have. And just think about, I'm sure you've heard of the story of Adam and Eve, right? The first couple created on this earth. Well, it doesn't take long to read about their family to see that it was pretty messed up. It was dysfunctional. Do you know what happened? They're two boys. What were the two boys? The two boys that we read about. They might have had more.
Cain and Abel.
Yeah, they did have stuff too, yeah. Okay, so Cain and Abel, what happened? Yeah, it was pretty intense. But what happened? What did Cain do to Abel? He killed him. I mean, this is the first family that God created. And God is pretty open. He's like, well, this is kind of what happened. And so we're not the only ones. If you think that, well, I'm the only one that has a messed up family, everybody else is, everything is just perfect and dandy. I wish I was part of that. But no, it happened early on. It would be nice if Scripture said something like, if your family really isn't as annoying as it sounds, then I give you permission to leave home and search for another one. But unfortunately, God doesn't make such a statement. Unfortunately, but God doesn't make a statement like that. So we're going to look at two passages this morning. It's really warm. Maybe I'm just burning up. Alright, side note. Let's look at two different passages in the New Testament. And the first is already up there for you. Acts 17, 26. Well, and the first is here, and I'll give you a little bit of background on this. So our first point is God chose you. Okay, so this, before I read this passage here in Acts, Paul was on his first missionary journey, and he's traveled around to different churches. He goes to some churches in Thessalonica, ends up leaving there. People were teasing him and messing with him. He ends up going to some churches in Berea. They treated him much better than the people in Thessalonica. And then he goes to Athens, okay? And so he's there waiting to, I guess, board a ship or something and move on. And so he's talking to some people there. And so there's these really wise men, these philosophers, these great thinkers. They love just sitting around all day thinking about the deep things of life, meaning and purpose. And they just had all the time, you know, those people you read about, like Plato and stuff like that. Those types of men, you know, deep thinkers. So Paul walks up to them and is talking to them, and who knows what questions they were discussing at that time. But these people weren't necessarily, I mean, they didn't believe in God. They were pagans, worldly people. People, you probably have friends like this. You know, they're very deep thinkers, but God isn't really part of their life or anything like that. And so Paul's just engaging in conversation with them. And this is what he says about the meaning of life. And we read it here in Acts 17. You can read along on the screen. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the set times, the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. Okay, let me back up. From one man, the one man is Adam. Okay, the first man we talked about that we read about in Genesis. He made, so he's talking about God, and he ties it in. You can read, I encourage you to read Acts chapter 17 to kind of get a little bit more background of the passage, but he's talking about God. So God created every nation out of one man. A woman, of course, but it kind of comes back to Adam, right? And that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, the exact places. So if it's every nation, that includes us. Right? So it started with Adam, but everyone around, so he has set times. So we are in year 2011 right now. That was determined. The fact that you live in Northern Virginia or are here visiting us this morning, you may not live here, maybe you live somewhere else, but that is determined by God. The connections, the friends, the people that you know, which is amazing when you think about it, but God chose you. And if you read on, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So when I read this passage, I thought of more like a scavenger hunt, you know, that we might seek him and perhaps reach out to him. God placed these clues. So he determined the family you're born to, he determined the location, and he set out some clues that you might reach out to him and seek him. That you find him and say, okay, what's the deal? God, I mean, did you mess up? Like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Why am I in this family? And so that's what he did. He wants us to reach out to him, which is pretty amazing. But this isn't the type of choosing when you think of hand-picking. It's not the type of choosing that happens in PE class when you're picking your team, or maybe you're being picked. Somebody else is like the team captain, like you, and you're like the last one there. For me, if I was like, we're playing soccer or something like that, and I'm like, oh, okay, I know I'm going to be here last. So when we're like, well, can't pick anyone else, so Chuck. You know, it's not that type of picking. God chose you, specifically chose you, and he knows your talents, and he loves you. That's that type of picking, not the, like, well, you're the last one, no one else to pick. So in other words, God has put you exactly as you are, exactly where you are right now for a reason. And we're going to talk about that reason. But God sees your dysfunction and cares about your unhappiness. So, since we know that we're here on purpose, what is that purpose? I'm glad you asked. We got another passage here in Matt chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. It says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And these two verses are pulled out of one of Jesus' big sermons called Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to his disciples, his followers, people who believed in him. And he's giving them instruction about all kinds of things. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about fasting, happiness, anger, lust, giving, relationships, worry, and the purpose of life. And so they're sitting there right on the edge of their seats or right on the edge of the mountainside. And so they're listening, just taking it all in because it's all very new. And he calls this type of lifestyle, he calls it kingdom living, living in the kingdom. And it has it's radically different than the life that we all know and the life that they knew back then, was accustomed to. And he says, so the purpose of your life is to let your light shine to the people around you so that they can see that there's something different about you, something different in you that sets you apart from everybody else. Like a city set on a hill. Like a city is set on a hill, so are we set here, this time, this location, in this family, by God. A city on a hill, like much like a castle or a lighthouse, everybody else sees it. Right? You see it lit up at night, or I grew up in Germany, so there's lots of castles there. My parents love going around to see all the castles. For some reason, they thought they were a whole lot different than others. Whatever. No bitterness here. So God set us here on a hill so that others can see us, and they see, like, well, hopefully that there'll be something different about us. Hopefully we'll be set apart from them. Because many of us so easily just blend in, right? We were trying to blend in, like, but God set you on the hill. Anyhow, that's our purpose, that we would let our light shine. And what's even better, that others may see your good works, okay, as you're just going throughout life, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Your Father, that's a relationship. It's talking about the relationship that you have with God, that he's your Father. He's like, well, yeah. I mean, if Donald Trump was your father, you would probably let everyone know about it. Like, oh, yeah, I took the Trump helicopter to school today. I mean, did I just say that out loud? I mean, you would want to let everybody know the connections that you have. Like, hey, let's go play golf on the Trump course. And, yeah, you can leave on your shoes. I mean, whatever. You would like tell everyone about it, but that's the same way that we should be doing with God, is just that it should just be overflowing. It's like, yeah, I believe in God, and he's given me purpose. And in the midst of this messiness, I have purpose to let my light shine. So not only do you let your light shine in the midst of your family, but you let your light shine at school, at work, on your sports team, wherever you are. You should be able to help yourself. It should be just emitting light. Okay, point made. Okay, and so he not only does he have a purpose for you, he also shows us how to live. And in Psalm, I didn't put it up on the screen, but in Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So I ask myself the question, what is this light? If we're emitting light and we're supposed to let our light shine for others to see, what is that? It talks about good works. But the light is God's word, the unfolding of your words, speaking of, and the psalmist here is writing this, of your words, God, your words gives light. As I search and read and pour over your scriptures, it gives me light so that I know how to live, so that I will be filled. Does that make sense? So then he goes on in Matthew chapters 5 and 6. It talks more about kingdom living, all those different topics that I was listing for you earlier, and more. It covers many aspects of this special lifestyle. When we live like he wants us to, others will notice something different about us. We will stand out amongst others. But you need the grace of God to live like that and to love your family. But in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking more about just what it looks like to live like this. And as we are talking about picture perfect, like, well, okay, but what about this? How am I supposed to respond to this? Or what do I do when? We're going to be talking about that. One more thing I wanted to cover or mention, that when we're talking about... I guess today we're talking about the expected dysfunction that naturally comes with the word family. We're not talking about, and I'm not talking about the abusive dysfunction that leaves bruises and deep emotional wounds. I'm not saying that, well, God designed that, and that's right exactly where you're supposed to be. And I'm sorry if you're going through that. I'm really sorry that you are suffering under that. Talk to one of the staffers, one of the youth leaders, so that you can get help. Because I don't think you should just be content and just endure. That's not that type of dysfunction that I'm talking about. Yeah, lastly, application. So, since God made it this way, what does that mean for you? It means that you don't have to fight for God's attention. You don't have to be like, hey God, what's going on? Please change this. Help me, redeem me from this situation. If he determined for you to be there, it means we better learn what to do as long as we're there. Learn how to find the good in our family. Learning to see the good is something we have to learn and continue to relearn. Even for myself, even this weekend with my family, I was talking on, and I was preparing for this message, hanging out with my family, and I was still going back like, oh my word, what the deal? You know, why does my family like go through these things? So I'm not exempt from this. It's definitely affects me just as much as it does you. God is more powerful than you can imagine, but more personal than you can imagine too. God notices every hurt that you have from your family, every irritation, every question, and every fear you have. But what if, instead of being upset about the bad, what if instead you asked God to, hey God, you have me here for a reason. Will you help me learn to find the good? So learn to function in the midst of dysfunction. You know God has you here for a reason. He put you here on purpose, with a purpose. So let's work on finding good in that and seeking God's will. Okay, so I have a couple of questions. It is 10:38. I got three questions. So I want you to take your chair, and if you're facing this way, you can take it and turn it around and just kind of form a group of five or six. Just make the best you can and go over these questions, and then I'll wrap it up. All right. So I just want to hear from you guys, what are three specific ways that we can let our light shine? We're going to use that biblical term, to let your light shine, to stand out in your surroundings. What did y'all talk about? Let me hear it. Over here. Okay, family. Yeah, you let your light shine in your family, but how can you do it in your family? Cody.
Admitting that you can be wrong.
Admitting that you can be wrong. Wow, that's pretty radical. Yeah. Not many people like to do that, especially not in public. Okay, very good. What else? A couple more. Over here.
Encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Noticing others, noticing those that may feel a little down, discouraged, and then taking interest in them and taking the time to encourage them. You don't see that as often at school or in our environments. Everybody's so concerned about themselves. And, yeah, don't encourage each other. What else? Being a peacemaker. Yeah, absolutely. In Matthew chapter 5, it talks about vengeance and taking revenge, which is great. But Jesus is talking about, Jesus is talking about what we should do instead of what we want to do. And being a peacemaker is absolutely one of those. Amongst your friends, trying to resolve conflict, seeing the best in other people, which is really good. One last one. Anybody have one?
Bringing joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Bringing joy through a variety of ways. Through music, through our speech, we can bring joy. We can be negative, and we can look at the negative side of life and criticize people, right? Talk bad about them. Everybody can do that. It doesn't take any character, good character, or quality to be able to criticize someone, tear someone down. But to be joyful in the midst of hard times, in the midst of crazy tests and exams and stuff like that. That is a good thing. That's one way you can shine your light. And you can talk about the hope that is within you. That's one way where everybody's looking for the same, they're looking to answer the same questions that you are trying to answer. What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Why am I in this family? Did God mess up or did the Almighty mess up? No, you have a purpose, and that you can share with them. That's hope, and that's light. You can shed light into their lives. So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much for coming. I hope it challenged you to think a little bit about it, and we look forward to talking more about this topic in the next couple weeks. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it really sheds light on our lives, that it's relevant and applicable. Lord, I just pray that we would continue thinking about our purpose and the purpose that you've given us as we go throughout life. Lord, I just pray that that we would be light in our surroundings. We ask you, Lord, to give us the strength to do that. Say that for us, right? In Jesus' name.